All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, October 24th of 2024, and looking ahead here, we have a NFL showdown between the Vikings and the Rams tonight. We have four-game NBA slate, and then we have a nine-game NHL slate, so plenty of DFS action coming at you tonight. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there was a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. And as always, we do have our build review show, 5 p.m. Eastern today. We do that show Monday through Friday. And you can always get signed up by dropping your DK username in the Office Hours channel, letting me know what sport and slate you want me to review. Now we'll add you to the list for the next show. All right, let's get SaberSim up and let's jump into questions. Had a lot of questions come in over the last 24 hours here with our first big NBA slate. So we're going to knock these out, starting with questions in the Discord. First question, will it be recommended to use GeoMean per contest while filling them using direct or autofill? Thanks. Okay, good question. So this is basically exactly why I changed the way I was doing my GeoMean. So I used to do it on a contest by contest basis. Well, when you're playing like a lot of contests, it makes it hard to optimize for each one. You basically have to do it in direct fill, and then you have to change the post lineup filter every single time, right? So for one contest, you know, the number of entries might be 20,000, but for your next contest, it might be 2,000, right? So you need to update the GeoMean formula every single time if you're doing it that way, and direct fill would be the way to do it. But what I started doing was I just started treating GeoMean like my other filters, like projection, like some ownership, where I'm just trying to filter out the bottom. Well, in the case of GeoMean, the highest 10 to 20% of GeoMean lineups, because the higher the GeoMean, the more likely to be duplicated the lineup is. So I'm just filtering out a subset of my GeoMean lineups and then using that in autofill. So if you want to be contest specific, you're going to have to use direct fill. If you just want to apply a broad GeoMean filter, you could do that and still use autofill. So it's going to depend what you want to do there. But those are basically the two good options that I'm aware of. Okay, next question. Should I be playing single entry contests in NBA? I notice that I often fall short of even the min cash line. I'm wondering if it's just wasting my bankroll to enter those contests, or if I enter them, how should I create those lineups? Good question. So the answer is yes, you should be playing single entry contests. And the reason for that is due to our backtesting, right? We backtested portfolios of contests that players can enter. And what we found was the players who played a mix of single entry, 3 max, and 20 max and 150 max had smoother bankroll graphs. Their swings were less. They could operate on a smaller bankroll and not go bust and have just as good of results across the season as players playing exclusively 150 maxes or players exclusively playing single entries. So a balance of the two is good. You will notice that our recommendations are that your single entries take up 25 to 50% of your bankroll allocation, and then the 20 maxes and 150 maxes take up 50 to 75%, right? So you could have like a 75-25 split with single entries only being a quarter of your total bankroll allocation. So it is okay to play less single entries than, you know, as much as your MME contest, right? You're going to get more lineups in when you're playing that 75-25 split. So that part's good. I would just remember, you know, the cashing rates for these lineups, you know, or these contests. I really don't know how many single entries you're playing. But let's say you're playing one, right? You're playing one single entry a night. Well, the cash rate in the contest is usually 20-ish percent. So that means if you were playing a single entry, one single contest, if you played Monday through Friday, you're, and let's say you're an average player, Your expectation is to cash one time in 5 days. Let's say you're twice as good as everyone else, which is really hard. Your expectation is still only to cash two times in 5 days. You're going to cash twice. You're going to lose three times, right? So you got to understand the payout structures for these contests to just kind of have better expectations of what you can expect. But it is not killing your bankroll to do it. It is actually smoothing out your bankroll according to our back testing. So I would definitely keep them as a portion of your portfolio and still continue to enter those. If you want, you could allocate that money to three maxes, you know, instead of playing the $1, I'm sorry, instead of playing the $3 single entry, play the $1 three max, right? Get three lineups for the same price of one is something that you could try. All right, keeping it rolling. Next question. So in the late swap best fill method is selected in beta late swap, it does not matter which order the contests are in, correct? Regardless how the contests are ranked. So good question. So this is a new feature. You know, you guys aren't going to see it here. I'm using the normal app for office hours because this is what everybody has access to. But on the beta, yeah, so we do have new fill methods, late swap best and late swap unique. You are correct that late swap best is going to be willing to duplicate lineups across entries, and it will not matter if a lineup has been put into a contest already or not when considering whether or not to put that lineup into contest number two or contest number three. It will just use the best over and over again, and it will not worry about the fact that it's already been used. So late swap best, it will not matter if the contests are sorted by prize pool or entry fee or whatever you're sorting by. But it will for unique, right? Late swap unique, it will matter. All right, next question. Question regarding measurements of wins and lineup builds. As a FanDuel player, this is the info between May and October. Amount played $623.30. Amount won $528.11. Is this a typical outcome of playing DFS? I feel like my wins are usually a few dollars over what I played on the slate, and my losses are a few dollars under what I play. I hit one big win in about 4 years. What should I do to become more profitable? Good question here. So this question's a little hard to answer because I don't know how many slates you're playing, how many contests you're playing, right? You know, the dollar amount is relative, right? Because you could be playing, you know, the piggy bank every night, playing just that contest, getting 150 lineups in every single day, and you could have, you know, a massive amount of lineups in play over that time period until you get to, you know, this amount of money entered, right? Now, you could do the opposite and you could play, you know, higher stakes single entries and you can get to this number with only a few lineups. So that's what makes answering this question hard. I would say if you want to better judge your process and your contests, it would be this other idea. You know, FanDuel is a little harder, right? We don't have the contest flashback tool. So what can you do? I would say track your top 1% entries. And we've talked about this a little bit. So say you're playing on FanDuel, right? Let's go over to FanDuel for tonight's 4-game slate. And we go to the contest tab. So let's say you are playing, you know, let's say you're playing the fadeaway, right? 25 cent, 150 max, 67,000 entries. So what you would want to do is, you know, you would want to come in here and then you would say, okay, what is 1% of 67,000? I'm just going to use whole numbers. So 67,000 times 0.01 is 670. So if you had 100 lineups, your average expectation would be to put one lineup in the top 670. If you have 150, then, you know, on average, you should put about 1.5 over a period of time, right? So what I would do is I would play this contest every single day, and then I would go into the standings after the contest is finished, and then I would be tracking, hey, how many lineups did I have over this number? And then if the contest size changes, it's fine. You just do the multiplication again and get a new number. And you want to see, are you putting more than your fair share of lineups in the top 1% of the contest? Because that is going to be where the money is won, right? In DFS, the payout structures are very top heavy. So you need to finish in the top 1% of the contest to have a chance of scoring a big win, right? And I've shared this document before. I'll share it again here. So this is a chart or sheet that Nelson Adcock shared on Twitter a while back. Got to shout him out because he made it. Where you can estimate your hypothetical ROI using a top 1% finish in 100 plus person GPPs. So what you do is you apply. So basically what you're doing is you're tracking your top 1% equity, and then you're applying a rake here because it's usually about like 15%. And then, you know, based on your top 1% rate, what should you expect your ROI to be over the long term? So the way this makes sense is that typically contests are raked at about 15%. So you need to win. You need to put 1.15% of your lineups in the top 1% just to break even. That would be right between this negative 4% and 4% section here. Now, anything above that, you start to see a profit, or you should, right? So if you're putting, you know, 1.5% of your lineups in the top 1%, well, then your hypothetical ROI, if you played enough slates over time, would be closer to like 30%, right? If you're doing like 1.2, you could expect like 5%. So depending on your top 1% rate, you can get a better idea of whether or not you should be winning over the long term. So I would be tracking it depending on, based on, you know, this idea that we're talking about here. You could do every contest. You could designate a contest to do. And then once you start doing that, you'll get a better sense of how much you should be winning, how often you should be winning, and, you know, whether or not your results are expected. So give that a shot. All right. I late swapped every NBA lock last night up until the two 10 p.m. games because I noticed that my average projection metric between swap 3 and 4 had decreased by approximately 30 points. My gut said don't swap because of this, so I didn't. Is this a bug or expected behavior when only a couple of games are left? Did I do it right? It's kind of hard for me to know if you did it right without like seeing it and like doing a deep dive. It does feel weird for the average projection to drop so significantly. So in the future, I think probably a better thing to do if you see something kind of weird or awry here, because I wouldn't say dropping 30-point projection is normal, go into the top right corner, go to report a problem, and just write us a brief description of what you're seeing. This report gives us a lot of information for troubleshooting purposes and goes to our team, and then we can look at it and report back to you. We have a team who handles these reports and does deep dives and a lot of analysis there. So that's going to be a better use here, or a better way to get a actual answer. I'm unfortunately, my ability to troubleshoot here on stream is a little bit limited. All right, next question. What is the best approach to use direct/autofill while only using single entries and/or 3-max while playing different sets of field lineups under contest sims, flagship, low, medium, high stakes under my own, which shall be the one to use under projections? And will that have some type of effect when the lineups are built at all? A follow-up to that, under autofill, will that change how a unique set of lineups are entered after running the contest sim? Thanks. Okay, so a couple questions here in one. The first one is, what is the best approach to use direct and autofill when only playing single entries and 3-maxes? So I don't think you should really do anything different. I think a consideration you should make is that if you do it in autofill, the lineups are a little bit more likely to be highly correlated because each contest is being analyzed individually. Now, if you do something in direct fill, whether you're averaging ROIs across all the contests, et cetera, you can better group, you can better look at your single entries and three maxes as a whole, as a big group of contests, and diversify across all of them. I'm not doing that. I'm using autofill, but I'm not like exclusively playing, you know, single entries and three maxes. I'm playing a mix. So that's a consideration, is, you know, how highly correlated are you willing to have those sets of lineups? And if I would probably recommend using using autofill to start. And then if you're noticing that your lineups are really correlated to the point where it's bothering you or concerning you, then I would try the direct fill approach. The only thing is you're sacrificing a little bit more by averaging the results across all of the contests that you're filling. So autofill is going to be a little bit better. If you notice you're not as diversified as you would like to be, then I would try direct fill approach. All right, next question. While playing different sets of field lineups under contest sims, under my own, which shall be the one to use for projections, and will that have some type of effect? Good question. So the only thing that my own affects is some ownership, saber score, and any type of geo mean calculation. That's why when I do the geo mean for like the showdowns, I always say come in here and standardize the players who are projected for 0. Whatever ownership, because it does matter in the geo mean formula. You're multiplying those values together. Some ownership, right? If you know, we're looking at flagship MME versus high stakes single entry and players' ownerships are increasing, well, that's going to increase the sum ownership of the lineups. It will also have an effect on the adjusted ownerships, because my own is an input to adjusted own. So, and then adjusted ownership is an variable in the saber score formula. So those are the three things you need to be aware about, be aware of, really. So if you are using a geo mean formula and you're playing, you know, high stakes or something like that, maybe you should change it to that set of ownership so you get a better representation of the contest that you're building for. So that's a consideration. That's something I've been doing recently. I wasn't thinking about it before, but I started to do it because I mostly play like the $33 showdown. And I've been switching this to medium stakes MME before doing my geo mean formula. So that's definitely one reason to change it. All right. Last question in this set. Under autofill, will that change how a unique set of lineups are entered after running the contest sim? So it shouldn't, unless you're using like some ownership or something like that, right? So unless you're using one of the three sorting metrics that changing that affects, then no. If you do change one of those, then it will possibly move some lineups up and down in the standings and can have an effect. All right. If I just run a build and use Saber Score and min slash max uniques and enter into the correct contest, will my lineups be unique or different enough from others to win a tournament? Good question. So there's kind of two parts here. Number one is, will your lineups be unique? Now, this is going to depend on the format that you're playing, right? There are just some formats or some contest types where duplication is more likely. And these typically involve the player pools being smaller. So if you looked at the two-game NBA opening night slate, there was a lot of duplication in the contest. If you looked on yesterday's NBA 10-game slate, there was not a lot of duplication. So the number of players in the player pool is always going to have an effect on uniqueness. And the less players in the player pool, the more I think you should do something to account for duplication in your process. Now, if you are using Saber Score and you're just running the builds, it is not really accounting for duplication in your lineups. We are avoiding some of the highest average adjusted ownership lineups. That is a negatively weighted variable in Sabre score. So you do get some effect of fading some very, very high owned teams. But I think that you could probably go a step further and account for duplication more in your showdown builds. And then in classic slates, I wouldn't worry about the duplication, right? So if there is duplication in the contest overall, you should worry about it. If there is not, you don't need to worry about it as much. You can mostly see this in like flashback, but just think of contests with a low player pool, MMA, NASCAR, two game slates, anything like kind of along those lines. Now, the second part is, are your lineups going to have a chance of winning? And this part, I would say yes, right? SaberSim is designed to give you lineups that have upside, that have a chance of getting to the top of your contest with very little intervention by you, right? We work hard on the projections. We work hard on the ownership. We have our sim diversity that's building you high upside lineups. We are randomly sampling the sims, and you don't need to worry about the upside of your lineups. So the upside, we got that under control. When it comes to slate types where duplication matters, I would consider having a little bit more manual intervention there to account for that. All right. Next question from Jay. What's the best stack to run for NFL? Also, I entered a handful of contests this morning already, but if Puka Nacua and TJ Hawkinson play, I would like to have them in some any way to do this. Yeah, so you can always rebuild your lineups. You know, that's totally cool if you have a build where, you know, you've already clicked build lineups. Honestly, what I would do is if those players get rolled in, I would just come in and open a new build and make sure that this refresh projections icon runs. You can hover over it and see the last time projections were updated. So make sure, you know, you click this, come in here, you know, verify that the players do have a projection now, right? So come into Vikings and Rams, sort by projection. It looks like we are currently projecting Puka and it's Tyler Higbee. It looks like we are not projecting Hawkinson at the moment, right? So keep your eye on these projections and then you can, you know, refresh and rerun your build accordingly or open up a new build and rerun it. That's super easy to do. And then as far as stacks go, you know, we really don't like suggest going all in on like one stack type, right? What I like to do is I like to come in here and run a build. And then I just like to go to the stack exposure screen and then see what are the most common stacks that are coming up. So once you do that, then that'll give you a better sense of what are the best stack types to play on this slate. So that's what I would be doing, is something along those lines where you can get a better sense, right? So we have these 200 lineups here. If I go to stack exposure and I sort by pool, well, hey, look, 4-2s are coming up the most often in our pool, which means that, you know, since we're taking single game sims of the game here, we're going to be able to identify like, hey, the optimal lineup most often in our sims was a 4-2 stack. So that's a way to think about it. All right. Follow up from Jay. I've already entered 175 plus into DraftKings. Is there a way to get rid of them and re-upload? If you need to upload more entries, right? So what you can do is once you upload your entries into SaberSim, and I'll just show you guys how to do that. And let's say you go and you enter more contests, right? All you need to do is come back to this screen, click the upload icon here, and then you can re-import a file. If you've deleted contests, added new contests, etc. If you've already filled this, but you have the same contest, all you need to do is resave it, right? So just go back to the build or go to a new build wherever you are, and then just run your build and then click save again. And then once you save the lineups again, it will overwrite the lineups that are already in your entries file. And then you can just re-upload that to the site. So one of those two options should solve your problem. All right. Samuel said, after running the contest sims and using aggregate metrics of less than zero ROI takes about 75% of the pool. How shall you handle that? I leave it, you know, I say for most of the filters to filter out, you know, 10 to 20% of your lineups. For ROI, I let it take out as much as it wants. And the reason for that is that I trust the contest sims. You know, it is running this slate out 100,000 times. And I think that the sample size is big enough to be trustworthy. And I mostly want to play lineups that do well over the long run. So I don't mind when it takes out, you know, 75% of my lineups. And the other thing, right, is in showdowns, you're most often looking for an optimal. And there's only one combination of players that are going to be optimal. So I think it's okay to whittle down your pool more in showdowns than in classic slates. And then you'll notice that when you do ROI greater than zero in classics, you usually end up with more lineups still available than you do in showdowns because, you know, there are a lot of possible winning lineups on a classic slate. You don't need the optimal. All right. Aggie said, if we use min-max uniques and our lineups drop from 150 to 60, should we adjust our exposures to meet the number of lineups we want to play or just use the 60 SaberSim generates? If you need 150 lineups, I would walk back the number until you have 150 lineups again. We always recommend playing a unique lineup in each entry that you have. So I would definitely lower the number back until the point that you get 150 lineups in your pool once again. So that would be my recommendation there. All right. Looks like we are caught up so far with questions in the YouTube chat and our first pass of Discord. Let's go back and check Discord right now. See if any additional questions have rolled in. Looks like Aggie brought this one over. So appreciate you dropping that in the YouTube chat. So looks like we're all caught up. So reminder, we do have our build review show in about 30 minutes here. And until then, everybody, I will see you all then. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Take care. Thanks. Bye.